Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. Bosch Bin Laden.
Hello. I was looking last night at some paintings by the 15th century Flemish painter, Hieronymus Bosch. Interesting, but pretty weird stuff. Bosch was sort of a godfather to the surrealist school of painters who came along 450 years later. Salvador Dali and his limp clocks, for example. I don't know much about Bosch's life, but he was a moralist, and his paintings, with their nightmare quality, reflected his concern for the moral condition of Dutch society in his time. I thought to myself, as I studied his paintings, my God, what would Bosch be painting if he were alive today in America? I shuddered when I thought about it. This is indeed an age which lends itself to surrealist treatment. Public life today lacks some important elements of reality. I was looking at Bosch's paintings right after having seen Bill Clinton on television preaching about his opposition to a tax cut bill which the Republican Congress had just passed. And that's what made me think about what Bosch might have painted in the Clinton era. I mean, there was this unspeakable piece of filth up there at his lectern, this reprobate, this criminal, wagging his finger and moralizing about what's good for the American people. And no one was hooting him down or even laughing at him. All of the media people were taking him seriously and showing him respect. Not even an expression of distaste on the news commentator's face or a hint of contempt in his voice. I can imagine millions of other television viewers around the country soberly watching the same newscast and seeing nothing amiss. I believe that Howdy Doody or Fred Flintstone could have been up there on the speaker's podium with the presidential seal saying the same things Clinton said, and as long as the media people treated it seriously, the viewers would see nothing amiss. I don't know what the moral condition of Dutch society was like in the 15th century, but it certainly couldn't have been worse than that of American society today. Actually, I guess it's not really the moral condition of the American public I'm complaining about. It's the surreal nature of public life in America today. I'll give you an example of what I mean when I say that there's something which isn't real about our society. When Israel's new prime minister, Ehud Barak, was visiting the United States recently, he was treated with great respect by the media people. He was described as an Israeli war hero and as the man who might be able to bring peace to the Middle East. Now, to the Jews, the term hero has a different meaning than it does to us. Let me tell you about one of Ehud Barak's heroic exploits. In 1972, Barak headed an Israeli assassination squad which was landed on a Lebanese beach near Beirut late at night by an Israeli submarine, supplied, of course, by the United States. Israel and Lebanon were at peace at the time, but Israel always has had a policy of assassinating troublesome Gentiles, whether they are Islamic religious leaders or Egyptian rocket scientists or Palestinians who write patriotic poetry, or anyone else the Jews don't like. The excuse usually is that the victim was a threat to Israel. The threats which Barak's murder squad dealt with that night in 1972, when they landed on the beach near Beirut, were two Palestinian political writers and a poet living in exile in Lebanon after having been ethnically cleansed by the Israelis. Barak and two other members of his squad quietly picked the lock and let themselves into the house of Palestinian writer Kamal Edwan and his family in the Beirut suburb of Verdun at 1 o'clock in the morning. Using silenced submachine guns, they slaughtered Edwan, his wife, and his daughter while they slept in their beds. Other members of Barak's murder squad killed the other two victims and their families. Escaping from Lebanon and returning to Israel as a hero, Barak explained to journalists that it had been necessary to shoot all three members of the Edwan family because the women attempted to shield Kamal from the Jews' bullets. Well, the facts are that although the bullet-riddled body of Kamal's wife was found on the bed beside him, his daughter's bullet-riddled body was found alone in her own bedroom. Now, all of the major media in the United States knew about this at the time of Barak's visit to the United States last month. These 1972 murders made headlines around the world at the time, and as I said, Barak was treated as a hero when he returned to Israel from this murder mission. This sort of information is kept on file at the New York Times, the Associated Press, the Washington Post, and every other major news agency. You can dig it up yourself from any major library. But there wasn't a word about any of this in the U.S. news media last month. Why not? Was it irrelevant after 27 years? Imagine that it had been a senior statesman from Germany who was being entertained at the White House last month instead of the Prime Minister of Israel. Imagine that during the Second World War, in 1942, say, that's 57 years ago instead of 27, the German statesman had been the head of an SS team which killed Jews, and the news media here knew about it. Do you believe that they would have remained silent about the events of 57 years ago in order to avoid embarrassing our visitor or Mr. Clinton, or because they believed that the events of 57 years ago had become irrelevant after the passage of so much time? I mean, really, what do you think? Let me help you. The Jews always get special treatment. They own the media. They control the Clinton government. They believe they're entitled to special treatment, and they get it. You know as well as I that it is inconceivable that any foreign official who had killed Jews and the media knew about it could be entertained at the White House while the media kept quiet about the official's past. But a Jewish official who has murdered Gentiles, hey, that's different. No need to remind the public about that. And of course, the murders of Palestinian families that Ehud Barak carried out under the cover of darkness in 1972 were not the end of his career as a cold-blooded murderer of women and children. The 1972 murders were among the few that made headlines around the world, but he kept on doing the same sort of thing. Nowadays, of course, he doesn't actually go out and shoot people himself. He just gives the orders to have people shot. This year, the day after Barak took office as Prime Minister of Israel, his Mossad agents murdered a 27-year-old Lebanese nuclear physicist in his Paris apartment. The Jews believe that people who are likely to sympathize with their enemies, with people from whom they have stolen land, that the Palestinians, for example, should not be permitted to become nuclear physicists, because their enemies may benefit from the knowledge, from the expertise. And so the Jews arrange to have these people murdered whenever they can. They count on the media under the control of their kinsmen to cover for them, and on crooked politicians who are in their pocket not to make a fuss. And the politicians who run France these days are approximately as corrupt as those who run the United States, which means totally corrupt. So the Jews get away with this sort of behavior. Well, that's Jews for you. I mean, really, I wouldn't waste much time worrying about the type of people they are or what they do if they were doing all of their dirty work over in the Middle East somewhere among their fellow Semites. But they're doing their dirty work over here among us. and it concerns all of us. At least, it ought to be a matter of concern to all of us, because it certainly affects all of us. I'll just recap what I've said so far. The mass media in the United States, all of them, the TV network news programs, the national newspapers and news magazines, such as the New York Times, the Washington Post, Time, Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, all of them knew about Barack's background when he was in this country recently, and they all covered for him. They all concealed his bloody past from the American people, deliberately and knowingly concealed it, and portrayed Barack as a man of peace, so that Bill Clinton and the other politicians could suck up to him and promise him billions of dollars more from the U.S. Treasury, our money, without any protest from us. And the media did that because Barack is a Jew, because he is the head of the Jewish state, and they, the media bosses, also are Jews or are completely tied up in collaboration with the Jews. Now, that's a serious business, and it ought to concern all of us. It's not just that ordinary Americans who depend on the mass media for everything they know or think they know about what's happening in the world are being deceived. One could argue that that's not important because most ordinary Americans never understand anything anyway, whether they're being deliberately deceived or not. So what difference does it make whether it's the Jews or someone else who's deceiving them? They're just sheep. They don't count. Now, that is not my position. I believe that we must have honest, accurate, and responsible mass media in the hands of our own people. I believe that ordinary Americans at least ought to have the information needed to understand what's happening in the world, whether they have the desire or the intelligence to take advantage of that information or not. But as I just said, the problem is bigger than the fact that the public is being deceived. You know, there are a great many Americans who are not sheep and who are not so easily deceived. Smart, wide-awake Americans who have the same access to information that I do. Americans who understand that their personal success and welfare depend on their knowing about what's happening in the world. People like Bill Gates don't simply take at face value everything they see on their television screens. But Bill Gates doesn't speak out. He does nothing to counter the deception and plundering of his own people. Instead, he knowingly collaborates with the Jews in the deception. His Microsoft Corporation is involved in a joint media venture with NBC. And of course, it's not just Bill Gates. No one who understands what's happening and who also has the resources to oppose it effectively is willing to do so. Everyone is looking out only for himself. Everyone is willing to collaborate with the Jews or with Bill Clinton or with any other evil and destructive group or person or policy so long as there's some personal advantage to doing so. No one is willing to stand up for what is true and right if there is no personal advantage for himself in doing so. There are not even 10 righteous men of wealth and power in America to justify the continued existence of this nation, of this society. That is the nightmare quality of American society today, which Hieronymus Bosch would be truly challenged to symbolize in his painting if he were here today. Before I move on, I want to state once more the point I've made here. First, Ehud Barak, the current Prime Minister of Israel, the man who was entertained in the White House by Bill Clinton last month and who was promised billions of dollars more of our money, is a man who used to murder people that the Jews wanted murdered. He used to murder intellectuals whose ideas the Jews considered dangerous and their wives and children. He used to murder them personally and close up so that he got spattered with their blood and brains as they begged for mercy. He is a cold-blooded murderer. He is a terrorist. The 1972 murders in Beirut I described are a matter of public record, and you can check them out for yourself in any large library. Check using the keywords Kamal Edwan. Second, the mass media here all knew this, but they covered up for Barack. They would not have done that except that he is a Jew, and it is in the interest of Jews to conceal his background from the American taxpayers who are supporting Israel. The Jewish media bosses do not want American Gentiles to know that the leading Jew in the world today, the Jew who is looked up to and admired by Jews in America as well as in Israel, is an assassin, a cold-blooded murderer of women and children. The media bosses do not want Americans to understand that that's the sort of man most admired by their Jewish neighbors. Third, other knowledgeable people in America, knowledgeable Gentiles, rich and influential Gentiles, who should have been providing leadership and guidance to other Americans, also knew about Barack, but they remained silent rather than offend the Jews. You know, you don't have to agree with me about what we ought to do about the Jews. You may believe that it's possible to live in the same country with Jews. You may even believe in equality or democracy or, heaven forbid, diversity. But you cannot call yourself an honest man or a patriot if you were one of those who knew about Barack and remained silent. And of course, the concealing of Barack's murderous background from the public is only one of hundreds of similar moral failures I could cite. Failures to speak out and provide the truth to the public on important issues when the Jewish media are deliberately concealing the truth. I've spoken myself about dozens of these issues on these American Dissident Voices programs, about the deliberate effort by the Jewish media to make the white public believe that most so-called hate crimes involve whites attacking non-whites, for example, by providing enormously inflated news coverage of the tiny minority of interracial crimes in which that is the case, and completely suppressing the news of the majority of interracial crimes in which whites are the victims. The public doesn't know about this deception, but many wealthy and influential white people do, and yet they remain silent. You cannot call yourself a responsible American if you ignore the deceptions of the mass media, if you fail to speak out about these deceptions for fear of jeopardizing your career or your wealth or some business relationship you have with Jews. But who is speaking out? I am listening. I hear no political leader, no religious leader, no business leader speaking out. So, what will become of a country in which there no longer are any men of wealth and power and influence who care about the country, who feel responsible for it? What will happen to a society in which the masses care only about their ball games and their welfare entitlements, as they're called these days, and the rich care only about their personal wealth and power? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't take a Hieronymus Bosch to look at the society and notice that it is profoundly ill. Ordinary men and women all around the world can see that. And while Hieronymus Bosch isn't here today to chastise us for our lack of morality, other men who care about morality are. Men like Osama bin Laden, for example. And the fact that men like bin Laden can look at America and see that it no longer has a soul makes them infinitely more dangerous as our moral instructors. Bin Laden knows that the next time he blows something up, a great many people will applaud him, both around the world and in America. The people you see on the television screen won't be applauding, of course. Madeleine Albright and Bill Clinton will be looking very grim and will be wagging their fingers and making threats about retaliation. The cameras will focus on the bodies being pulled from the rubble, and the TV commentators will be very serious and will have the couch potatoes everywhere, feeling indignant toward bin Laden and regarding him as a bloodthirsty terrorist who kills people without reason. But there will be tens of thousands of Americans who understand the situation and who will applaud bin Laden in the privacy of their living rooms. And there will be tens of millions of people around the world who will applaud. Let me reiterate. People like Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright would have you believe that a country doesn't need a soul in order to be healthy. Certainly the couch potatoes, the lemmings, are not concerned about such things as the nation's soul. As long as the bread and circuses continue, as long as the ball games and the entitlements keep coming, they will believe that everything is all right. They really don't see anything amiss. They don't have any sort of moral compass inside themselves to tell them that things are very wrong in our national life. They simply believe what the media tell them without even a twinge of misgiving. That's one of the surreal features of life in America today. The great bulk of the population, the white population, is marching heavily toward national and racial extinction. That isn't natural. It doesn't seem real, but it is happening. And even though the couch potatoes can't understand this, there are people around the world who can and do. There are people who still are able to make moral judgments and who have the will to act on their judgments in one way or another. Hieronymus Bosch is no longer with us, but Osama bin Laden is. And so are plenty of others who make manifest their moral judgments with weapons of mass destruction instead of with paint and canvas. And of course, moral chastisement from without isn't the only consequence of our situation that we should anticipate. There will be a lot more craziness of one sort or another as people without moral guidance react in various ways to the stresses imposed by a disintegrating society. Mass shootings, cult suicides, scandals and outrages of every sort, from the Oval Office to every corner of American life. When a society no longer has any righteous men, men for whom righteousness counts more than profit or comfort or personal security, righteous men who will stand up and make themselves heard in America, then every member of our society will pay a price. No one will escape the craziness. Some Americans will applaud when they see evildoers struck down. Other Americans will become fearful and call for more security from the government. But the craziness will continue. It will become worse as our society descends into chaos, and it will not become better until we once again have a society headed by righteous men. Thanks for being with me again today.